Well, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. There we go. He's putting his money. Miss Madonna can't get it open to put it in there.
I'll put it there.
Put it there later. There you go. He wanted to put his money in there, didn't he? And it wouldn't go in there. How sweet. Well, it's good to see all of you here this morning. Good to have Adam and Tiffany and Mason back from the mission trip. They went to Colorado. Sounds like a good place to go. The group from First Baptist Nashville went to Colorado. Someone said, I guess Colorado's a good mission field. Everybody going to Colorado on a mission trip. And Adam and them are going to fix up some pictures and do a slideshow for us later on and tell us all about the trip. But it sounds like from talking to them, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we're thankful they're safely back today. My wife is not here again this Sunday. She was here last week and missed last Sunday and it missed again today. And I was thinking how much I miss her. And always when I pull out of the garage, I back up and I look back toward the window that's in the kitchen. And usually she has the plantation shutters open there so that she can wave at me and throw me a kiss. Never fails. When I left this morning, I said, I'm going to preach about heaven. And I said, I'm really not wanting to go there today. She said, well, I hope you'll be safe on the road and not go there today. But you know, we never know. It's so good to see Kim Bennett. Kim, it's just a miraculous thing. When I see you sitting there, I think, praise God that you and that other lady were both alive. We're so thankful that the Lord has watched over you and that you're singing up here in the choir this morning. And just so wonderful. First part of July, my brother's wife died on a Sunday, a Monday, 1st of July, first part. And I conducted her funeral service, and I talk to my brother every day, and he tells me how he's missing her more and more every day. He says, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And one of the young men that was at her funeral, a dear friend of mine, a rancher out near Ponder, Texas, he and his wife go to the Cowboy Church there at Ponder, which is at 500 people on Sunday. They probably got 500 people at the Cowboy Church, Ponder, Texas today. And Jerry was at the funeral for my sister-in-law. Well, last week his wife died. I had conducted their wedding 54 years ago, but she passed away, and her funeral was yesterday at the Cowboy Church in Ponder, Texas. I guess I'm saying all that to say we just never know from day to day what the future holds. We know who holds the future. We need to treasure each other. We need to praise God for each other. We need to love each other with all the love there possibly is for one another. And us husbands, we need to take note of that. You wives, you need to take note of that. Treasure each other, the times you have together. Bobby, do you say amen to that? She said amen twice. When you lose your companion, it is so very, very hard. I hope I don't ever have to go through that, but I may. We never know what the future will hold. I always like to give good reports from other churches, and I get the newsletter from First Baptist Church in Texarkana on Moore's Lane. They had a big Sunday last Sunday outside. They had a picnic. They had all kinds of stuff. And they every year they have an outdoor baptism. And they got a big tank they put outside on the lawn. And they had... Last Sunday evening, we baptized 46. Amen. coupled with the two who were baptized Sunday morning, our Super Sunday, last Sunday, saw 48 people follow the Lord in baptism. Amen. Amen. If that was a ball game or something, you'd be clapping for and making a score or something, have a nice goal. That's more wonderful than anything in this world. 48 people baptized outside at First Baptist Church, Texarkana, last week. What a joy. Some of you probably know Dr. Jeff Young. Do y'all know Dr. Jeff Young in Texarkana? Brother Jeff Shreve tells about him in his paper, so it's public knowledge. A baptized Dr. Jeff Young. Is he the skin doctor with Dr. Franks? I go to Dr. Franks, and I thought that was the name, Dr. Young. Well, anyway, last Sunday night he was baptized. He and I met in my office the Wednesday before, and Jeff prayed and asked Jesus to come into his life and be a Savior. I don't know whether he had thought he was saved before or not. Doesn't make any difference there. He felt he was lost. He did not hesitate to obey the Lord's command to be baptized and to give a testimony for all to see that now he belongs to Jesus. I just want to share that. I rejoiced myself and my wife when we read that. I thought we all need to praise God and rejoice. New people coming to Christ and for 48 to be baptized. Ooh, I hope we have that here one of these days. And I could give a testimony about that. Maybe some of you are here this morning that you have not ever followed Christ in baptism. And it might be that today is the day you would want to do that and let us know that. Well, the sermon I'm preaching today is about heaven. And a lot of folks are talking about heaven. A lot of people thinking about heaven. I listened to Brother David Jeremiah had a whole book and a whole series of sermons about heaven. I heard some of them. Dr. Jeffers at First Baptist Church in Dallas preached a whole series almost every Saturday night. I watch him, and he had a whole series on heaven. And there's so many others that are preaching all over the world sermons about heaven. So here's mine today, and I'm thinking a lot about heaven. I've been thinking about vacation time, and it's kind of, vacation time is about over, and some of y'all have been on vacations. I noticed I'm on Facebook with so many friends, and many of them had pictures of the beach. And one of the ladies with all the pictures of the family on the beach said, "It looks like everybody in Howard and Hempstead County are at the beach because everywhere we go, we see those people having a wonderful time on vacation." Vacation time. You know, years ago, there was a popular song, which I used to sing a lot, but I don't think I'll sing it today. When I take my vacation in heaven. Y'all remember, you older folks, we all remember that. You know, it was a big hit for many, many country singers. I put on my Facebook page last night a group of four men from Hee Haw years ago, Roy Clark and Grandpa Jones and another guy and another guy. They were singing this song, and I put it on. I said, "All four of them now are dead." And as far as I would know, I would think they're probably all four in heaven. But they were singing that song. Do y'all remember it at all? "When I take my vacation in heaven, what a wonderful time that will be." You remember that tune? How many of you remember it? I guess I was more of a country music fan than all of y'all then. Johnny Cash had it. It was a hit song for Johnny Cash. He sang it everywhere. It was a hit song for many others. Glenn Campbell and many others have sung that song. And the words are very good. There are those who are taking vacations to the mountains, the lakes, and the sea, where they rest from their cares and their labors. What a wonderful time that must be. But it seems not my lot to go with, to be like them. I must toil through the heat and the cold, seeking out the lost sheep on the mountains, bringing wanderers back to the fold. But when I take my vacation in heaven, what a wonderful time that will be, hearing concerts by the heavenly chorus, and the face of my Savior I'll see, sitting down on the banks of the river, 'neath the shade of the evergreen tree. There I'll rest from my burdens forever. Won't you take your vacation with me? Isn't that a pretty song? Y'all need to go to YouTube now and listen to that. You can hear all these songs. All you got to do is type it in and listen to it. When you take my vacation in heaven. I want to say two things about heaven this morning. First of all, heaven is for real. Long, long before they wrote that book about that little boy that apparently, you know, went to heaven and came back and told all those things, and they made a movie of it, Heaven is for Real. Long before the book came out, long before the little boy thought he had been to heaven and came back and told all the stories, the Bible has told us that heaven is for real. When I want to know about heaven, I go to the Bible. There are many other books I could read, but the Bible is the best book to know about heaven. Now, in the Bible, there are three heavens. Number one, the first heaven would be the heaven that when we go outside, we would look up and we would see the clouds and all in heaven. That would be the first heaven, where the birds are and the clouds are and all of that sort of thing. Then there's the second heaven, and that would be out yonder where the stars and the moon and the sun and all the planets and the galaxies and all of that, the second heaven. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible the first heaven, and it doesn't say the second heaven, but it does say the third heaven. And so logically, if you've got a third heaven, then you're bound to have a first and a second if you've got a third. You say, well, that's very interesting. Has anybody ever seen up into heaven? Well, in the Bible, you first of all would say Jesus. Why, he was in heaven from eternity past. He is presently there in heaven now at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. His Spirit is here on the earth all about us, but he is there in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Jesus knows all about heaven and says quite a bit about heaven in the Bible. Then there's the Apostle Paul, and Paul knew about heaven. For example, in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 22. There's an account of Paul. He was in Antioch and Iconium, those two towns. It's on the screen. And there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and they persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, that doesn't sound very bad at first reading, but it was a terrible thing. They stoned Paul. They drew him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. They thought he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, they were looking at him, is he dead? Is he dead? Is he dead? He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to the town of Derbe. Well, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks about his experience of being caught up into the third heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Look at it. It's on your screen, or you can look at it in your Bible. In 12, it says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Now, Paul is writing this. "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell." He just probably shrugged his shoulders and said, "I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. You know, I don't know." God knows. "Such a one caught up to the third heaven." Now there's that word, the third heaven. So Paul was writing about that. That probably happened about that account we read of. "And I knew such a man," probably talking about himself, "whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, I cannot tell, only God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise." Now, Paul calls it the third heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. Here he says, "I was in paradise." He was caught up into paradise. "And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter or to speak or to say. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory. But in my infirmities, my sicknesses, my illnesses, I will glory. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure." Now look at this. Paul says, "I was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. I don't know whether I was really in the body or out of the body. God only knows about that." And he says, "I could not speak about what I saw. I couldn't back it and tell anybody about it." And he says, "I could have been exalted," that is, proud, and brag about it, and write books about it, and make movies about it, and go everywhere telling about what I saw and all. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of those revelations that I had." Look what it says. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, some of y'all think you've got thorns in your flesh, and you may. My wife certainly feels like that about hers even today, this thorn in the flesh. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He says, "I had this vision. I was in the third heaven. I was in paradise. Unless I be exalted too much, the Lord sent me a thorn in the flesh, gave it to me. It was a messenger of the devil to buffet me, so I would not be too proud, not too exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me." He says, "I prayed three times." And I would imagine Paul is kind of just using that as a number. He probably prayed three times three times 500 times 1,000. He said, "I besought the Lord three times that that thorn might depart from me. And he said unto me," this is what God said to him, "he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "I will glory in mine infirmities." Boy, that's hard, isn't it? I'm looking at some of you all, and most all the time when you call me or text me, you're sick. Brenda, you're sitting right there by Tony today. Bless your heart. It's hard to glory in these infirmities, isn't it? And so many of you are ill so much of the time. He said, "I gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He said, into paradise. And then the last one is John. There was Jesus, knows all about heaven. Paul had been experienced, knows about that wonderful place called heaven. And John the Apostle in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, it says this. I'm saying, now I'm reading my back yonder and y'all are reading up here and in your Bibles, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, this is the Lord speaking to John, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches over in Asia, and he lists those churches. So the Lord, you see, would not let Paul come back and tell what all he had seen when he went to the third heaven up in heaven. However, here John goes into heaven, and the Lord says, tell everything about it. Tell what you've seen. Write a book and bring it to the churches. So there was a different purpose in all of that. And I don't understand exactly what that is. Some of the folks that I listen to and read after, they pretty well have it figured out. I haven't got all of that. Why he told Paul not to tell about it, and then he told John to tell all about it, everything you see and hear, write it in a book and send it and give it to the people. But he did. So you have Jesus having that experience of going into heaven. You have Paul having a vision into heaven, caught up into the third heaven. And you have John the Apostle with the revelations of heaven. Now what I want to think about, a few minutes we have left, what in the world are we going to do in heaven? I know what we do on vacations. Some people have a lot of fun. Some of our folks are right today on vacation with all their children. And some of them got 4 or 5 or 6 children. And I'm sure they're having a wonderful time, restful time. Ha, ha, ha. It is kind of good, but when you get back home, you are worn out trying to have a good time with all the family. And I've been there and done that, and most of you have as well. What do we do in heaven? Going to take a vacation in heaven? Well, the first thing, number one, we will rest from our labors. Revelation chapter 14. Oh, I love this one. Nearly every funeral we read this text. Revelation 14 and verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write it down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, saith the Holy Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So here is a word from God to us. When a loved one dies and they are saved, they're Christians, you can say, blessed are the dead, they have died in the Lord, and they can rest from their labors. So heaven is a place of rest. There is a place of rest called heaven, and we look forward to that. This one little lady, like some of you, worked so hard, so diligent at what she did, worked hard, made a little bit of money, and one day she heard about heaven, and she said, oh, I am so tired. I've been mopping these floors and sweeping these floors and cleaning all this stuff so long. I want to get to heaven, and I hope I can get to heaven and lay down. I mean, I want to die and go to and be at rest. She said, and it'll just be my luck. I'll die and be buried and be at rest. And she said, with my luck, the next day will be the resurrection. I have to get up and go again. Well, some of us probably feel like that. You know, we're going to rest and we want to rest. There is that rest in heaven. But heaven is not boring. Can you imagine how long the span of heaven is? It's eternal, eternity, everlasting. There is no end. We like to sing Amazing Grace. When we have been there 10,000 years, oh, that's just a phrase. That's just an expression. It's eternal. When we've been there 10 million years, 10 trillion years, no stop, no end to it ever. And sometimes the cartoons and so forth show we go up, oh, to heaven, and what are we going to be sitting on? A big white cloud. And can you imagine how boring it would be to be go to heaven finally and rest and sit on a cloud, and it shows them playing a harp you know, with a halo over their head and the wings. That's just cartoons. That's just fancy. Can you imagine how boring that would be? I believe that heaven is going to be even more active, more exciting, more wonderful than this place that we're living on now. It'll be more wonderful than any vacation you could ever find in your life. And secondly, it'll be a place of work. It'll be a place of work. Notice Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse there. Amen. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And notice this. And His servants, that's us, shall serve Him. Now that's what we're doing today. We're serving Him. And heaven will be a continuation of that. That's why it's really important, I think, that we need to serve Him as good and as much as we possibly can here. And then when we get to heaven, our service will be enhanced. It'll be greater and more wonderful than we've ever known here. And so when we say we are at rest, we are, but we're at rest and serving the Lord. In love, we work. Like in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and gave them a job and said, go do it. Go do it. Have dominion over everything. Well, that was to be a joyful, wonderful experience. It was not until after the fall into sin that work became a bad thing. By the sweat of your brow and working among the thistles and the poison ivy and all that kind of stuff that we have to work with. That came as a result of the fall. But it was perfect before sin came into the world. So first of all, we'll rest from our labors. Number two, we will work, work. That old song we love to sing, Mike, we'll work till Jesus comes. And when He comes and gets us, we'll just keep on working. It'll be a more wonderful work in heaven. Number three, we'll have perfect fellowship with other believers. Perfect fellowship with other believers. The question always comes up, will we know each other in heaven? Now, I believe, and most everyone that I know, preachers and Bible teachers, we all say yes. We will know each other in heaven. I believe you'll know me and I will know you. Now, I hope you make it so I can know you. I believe with all my heart I'm going to make it. So if you and I make it to heaven, we will know each other. We will know as we are known. But there'll be a vast host of people in heaven. Innumerable hosts, multitudes of people. And in heaven there won't be any backbiting. Whoo, that'll be heaven. There won't be any gossiping. Boy, that'd be heaven, wouldn't it? Down here, the church, the body of Christ, the Christians, we have more problems, more hang-ups, more sins in our relationships, more bad relationships. Everybody against each other, just in our whole country. We got the left and the right, and we got the middle. We got all these people who hate each other, it seems like. Nobody can agree. Even in the church, we're that way. Oh, that's a terrible thing. It ought not to be, but it is. And in heaven, though, it's going to be a place there won't be any of that. Any of that. You'll never hear anybody grumble or complain. You'll not hear anybody say a bad word about anybody else or think a bad thought about anybody else. Boy, that sounds like heaven to me. And it will be. It'll be that way. And we'll have this vast multitude that we'll be with in heaven. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 and 23 says this, but you are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men and women made perfect. So there's a vast multitude of people that we'll be with in heaven. All races, All groups of people from every nation in the world will be there, and we'll all be a family together. Down here, we're struggling with racism and divisions and all the kinds of problems that we have. None of those will be there. Some of y'all may be saying, boy, I'm anxious to go. When does the bus go? When does the bus leave? If it's out there, I'll just go jump on it now. You may think that. What a wonderful place that will be. We'll have perfect fellowship with other believers in heaven. I kind of think it'd kind of be like on a mission trip. Adam and Tiffany and Mason went on that mission trip, and about 15 or so others went on that mission trip. And I just imagine that they came back, and while they were there, they were all thinking how much joy we had, how much fun we had. We were all together. Those mission trips that I know about, and there are, have been on many myself through the years, there's something about being on mission, all together, serving, doing one things, that you just come together in such joy. Now, sometimes there are problems on mission trips, and somebody gets in trouble and does this kind of a thing, but that's unusual. Usually when people are on mission trips like that, everybody is enjoying each other. Everybody's having a good time because they're serving the Lord. They're not thinking about themselves necessarily. They're thinking about reaching others, telling others about Jesus. And so there's a great camaraderie there, a great love they feel for one another. And if you've been on those mission experiences, you know that's true. There's nothing that brings greater joy than that kind of an experience. And that will be how it is in heaven. Number four, we will worship God forever. Revelation chapter 19 and verses 1 through 3. After these things, I heard a great voice of many people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Say it with me. Alleluia. Say it again. Alleluia. Say it again.
Alleluia.
Yeah, that's pretty good, but I'm sure it's going to be not that dull. There's not going to be anybody looking kind of downcast there. As he said, I hear many people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And the smoke of that awful woman, whatever it was there, rose up forever and forever. We are worshiping God forever. Now, it's not going to be an eternal church service. I know some of y'all are thinking, boy, if I'm going to get to heaven and we're going to worship like we do today and last Sunday at our little church, if it's going to be like that and I'm going to have to do that for a billion years, I think I'm going to change my destination and go somewhere else. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be like the most wonderful, glorious worship service that you have ever experienced in your life. It's not going to be a boring time when everybody, as Mike said, let's try to forget about ourselves and not think about what we did this morning or we're going to do this afternoon. And let's try to all get here in spirit, all in mind, all of one accord, and we're going to worship the Lord. That would be a wonderful thing, and that in heaven is going to be that way. A place of perfect worship, not for a little while, but forever. Have you ever noticed when we have great services? And we've had some since I've been here, I think. And we would go home and we would say, you know, we got home late tonight. Nobody wanted to leave church. It was so good. Everybody stood around wanting to talk to each other, hold each other, handshake each other, hug each other, all of that sort of thing, because they were so happy and joyful. When you have a service that is truly a service of worship and real praise from the heart, nobody wants to leave it. But when you have a boring service, and I'm not sure how I classify today, What would you think here? I mean, you have a boring service. Everybody just can't wait to get home and do something fun. I mean, go home and do something exciting. It won't be that way in heaven. It's going to be a place of worship, and it will not be boring, and no one will be left out. And number five things, Evelyn, if you're taking notes, you've been back there, I see you. We'll have a home forever, and the longing in our heart for home will be satisfied. You know, I find no matter how old I get, there's always a longing for home inside of me. And you feel the same. That's why these songs about home and going home and being home, why they're so popular and so good, because we do long for whatever that experience. And for some of us, even though it was a bad experience, we still, there's a longing. I love that song that was written several years ago. I think Dick Baker may have written that. I have a longing in my heart for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. And then there's another song. I'm kind of homesick for that country. That's a good song, isn't it? There's a homesickness inside of us. There's a passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 that I want to close with there. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 11 says, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Amen. Also, He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. And one of the translations of that verse has been a missionary verse for many years. He hath set eternity in their hearts, is what another translation, and the one that I'm more familiar with than this King James. He put eternity in their hearts. And so you had people like Jim Elliot and those people of faith going to South America back years ago. And they went there because they felt those savages in those places down in the forest, they could go too because God had placed eternity in their hearts. In other words, there would be a longing in their heart. They might not know what that longing was, but there was a longing there. And missionaries have gone all over the world with that verse in mind, that there God placed in every person a feeling for eternity, a longing in the heart for God. And as Billy Graham always would say, there is that big space in the heart of every person in the world who ever has been, a space that is empty until God fills it. And I believe that that is true. Only God can really fill the human heart and bring joy and satisfaction forever. This morning, I've listed five things we're going to do in heaven. There's probably many other things. We'll rest from our labors, and that's going to be good. And we'll work. But it'll be a joyful work. I don't know where it's going to be. I read one commentator that said, you know, you got all these galaxies out in space. And he said, there are as many galaxies as there are people in the world. So he says, we may all have a galaxy and we may go back and forth and, oh, it just blows your mind. Some of you Star Wars people, you know what all that means. That's why you enjoy that so much. We will work. We will have a perfect fellowship with all believers. Number four, we will worship God forever. And the longing for home, because we'll be finally at home forever. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You know that I wanted so much to bring a message that would reach into my heart and the hearts of all of us here. And Lord, I pray it has been so. And dear Lord, if anyone is here this morning and they're not ready to go to heaven, they're not prepared, help them, Lord, to know they could be and they could get prepared. They could even get ready right now. Lord, if anyone is lost, they could be saved by calling upon you, repenting of their sins, and say, Lord, please save me. I'm a sinner. Lord, I pray that if any are here who are lost, who do not know you as Savior, and they are not on their way to heaven, that today will change their whole life, their whole eternity. I pray for those who are lost, that they might in this invitation come, that they might trust in you as Savior, accept you as Savior, invite you into their heart and life. I pray they'll do that today. Lord, if there are others who have been saved but they've not been baptized, I pray today they would come and say, I'm ready. I want to be baptized and become a member of this congregation. Father, there may be those here who are saved and baptized, but they've been walking out in the world and so worldly, and they're just backslidden, and they know it, and they are far from you, and they want to come back. They want to come back and get ready for that place called heaven. Lord, I pray that in this invitation, they'll make that decision. Father, just have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.